I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Wednesday, May 19th. Climate anxiety is rising among America's children. For parents, it can be hard to manage all of the emotions and questions that are arising now when kids start to get it about climate change and experience eco-anxiety. But the reality is that the climate crisis is going to impact today's children more than it did previous generations. According to National Geographic, for example, to meet the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement to stave off the most catastrophic consequences of climate change, the average child born today must emit about 8 times less carbon dioxide than their grandparents. So kids, how are you going to do that? No wonder you have climate anxiety. Joining me now to talk about how to help kids deal with their climate anxiety and empower them along the way is Mary DeMocker, author of the book, The Parent's Guide to Climate Revolution, 100 Ways to Build a Fossil-Free Future, Raise Empowered Kids, and Still Get a Good Night's Sleep. That's a great book title, Mary. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
And I'll tell everybody that your book first came out in 2018, but do you think that the last year, during lockdown and other things pertaining to the pandemic, has impacted the way the kids are experiencing climate anxiety?
Sure. I mean, I know for us, we had the most incredible wildfire here in Oregon that we'd ever experienced. And so that ratcheted up everybody's anxiety in my own community because we were actually locked in for almost 2 weeks with the world's worst air. But in other places, kids are on screens. They're learning more about what's happening. 2020 was one of the hottest years on record, and people are noticing this. They're watching, and they're learning about what the dangers are, especially as more of these reports come out that say, you know, we have just a few years to turn things around. So I think kids are inhaling a lot more information over the last year online, and that could be really scary because they're often alone when they're looking at their phone or their computer, and it can feel pretty heavy to be told that your future is looking really bleak. And not only that, politicians and adults often aren't really taking it as seriously as they need to, and that can be really concerning for anybody of any age.
You tell this really awful story, at least it starts out awful, you can tell me how it ends, in your book, of one of your nephews when he was only 4 years old telling his mom, "I don't want to be alive anymore and the earth will die and I don't want to be here when everything's dead." Mary, yikes, what's the first step if you have a young kid who's just suddenly very afraid of what's happening to the planet and comes out with things like that?
Yeah, well, his mom pulled him onto her lap and asked, you know, "Tell me more." She asked him to express what he was feeling and what he was afraid of. And she said it was actually a really short conversation, but she just let him talk. And then she reassured him that lots of people are working very hard to make sure that the earth is a healthy place for him to live in the future. And that was kind of all he needed. He went back to sleep immediately. And I think sometimes we can freeze up as parents and feel like, oh, wow, they're asking the big question, and I need to tell them everything. And all she did was let him know that she heard him. They were big feelings. She validated those feelings and told him that he could help out if he wanted to. And some, you know, there are always people working on these issues. And he kind of shrugged and said, okay, and went back to sleep. That was 16 years ago now, and you asked, well, how does the story end? Mm-hmm. And the story, well, it isn't ended because he's, you know, a young person out in the world, but he, all the way through, his parents listened to him, and they helped facilitate his interests and his concerns, and he ended up taking a year off before college and working to help Katie Porter get elected out in California, mm-hmm. and has worked with the Sunrise Movement. And one of the things that he told me was he feels better when his parents are actually taking action. So he's asked them to take some time off work to volunteer with grassroots organizations and actually work towards his future and his own kid's future. So we'll see how that comes out. I don't know if they're actually taking time off work, but that's what he's requesting of them at this point.
Alice in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Alice.
Hi. Yes, hi. I have an 18-year-old, and my concern is that her anxiety, which has been unrelenting for 4 years, is very deep and very silent, and it has everything to do with the climate crisis. And we had a conversation the other day where she said that she would absolutely never have children. She might adopt, but never have her own. I believe it was in the context of the climate crisis. I'm very concerned. She's not an activist. She doesn't express herself that way. And I think that she's looking at a very dystopian world, very dystopic vision of the world. And I say that because I'm a boomer, so I'm older than most parents of kids. And my world had limitless horizons. Hers is completely blocked, completely hemmed in. And I don't know what to do to help her. She's not going to go out and volunteer. I can't do that kind of thing for her. And I really don't know how to talk to her about it, you know, how to reassure her that things will be okay.
Mary, can you help Alice?
Yeah. Alice, I just want to really, I just feel for you and for her. I've been there in some ways, and I know parents that have been there, and I really just want to acknowledge how big and frightening that is for you as a parent, because we would do anything for our children, and to see a child moving into a tunnel of despair like that is very mm-hmm. frightening. So I want to acknowledge mm-hmm. that. And I also want to just express compassion for her, because what she's feeling is very normal. I mean, imagine, I'm a boomer too, I'm in my 50s. But if we were told 40 years ago that we had no future ahead, and then we watched politicians vote over and over again to deny the climate crisis, I really get why young people are feeling this way. My own son sometimes will say things at 21 that are concerning for me in terms of his relationship to the future. So they have valid concerns. She has valid concerns. In terms of what to do as a parent, I think it sounds like you've already been doing the most important thing, which is to listen and to explore mm-hmm. with her what she may be interested in doing in terms of actually taking action. So I want to just, as a side note, say sometimes overwhelming anxiety is actually not something that I can prescribe something for, because it may actually be something she needs clinical help with. And so eco-anxiety has different levels. You know, we talk about it like it's one thing. But if she already had overwhelming anxiety, then this might just be exacerbated by climate, in which case, obviously, I'm sure you know, professional help would be really a potentially a good thing for her. In terms of how she can move forward, how you as a parent can move forward, I think an important thing would be to connect her with other, and maybe yourself, with other young people who are taking action. Greta Thunberg, the Swedish activist that made a big splash by telling leaders, you know, what she thought so bluntly, because she was extremely depressed before she became an activist. And you might enjoy her mother's memoir. I can't recall the title right now, but look up Greta's mother's memoir about what it was like living with her daughter, who was actually almost hospitalized for her depression and eating disorder, and how the family was just going mad trying to figure out how to help their daughter when she was only 11. And it turned out that she was going inside more and more in despair over the climate crisis. And as she got her family support, her mother stopped flying, they went vegan, things that were important to Greta, then she started emerging. They obviously had a lot of professional help because it was a health crisis as well as a mental health crisis. And she found that as she began to speak and as she did her strikes, even though they were scary for her at first, that's what helped her emerge. I'm not saying that that's what your daughter will necessarily want to do, but I think learning what other young people have done and what they felt might be helpful for her.
Mention a book? Yeah, go ahead.
I want to mention a book. Jamie Margolin has written a book called Youth to Power, and it's a wonderful guidebook for young people to find out how they may want to have an impact. And you say she's not an activist, and I hear what you're saying. She's not going to pick up a sign necessarily and go out and do a strike like Greta did. However, there are countless ways to be part of solutions. And for her, it may be that she learns about the slow fashion movement. She may be interested in regenerative farming, you know, soil science. She may be interested in learning how to write fiction that's not dystopic. There are countless ways to push towards solutions without necessarily going out in the streets. And that's actually what my book is full of. It's full of ideas for how you can do that as a family.
And I think Greta Thunberg's mom's book is called Scenes from the Heart, right? Just for that book title.
I will
double check that. That's what I thought I saw online, but I'll double check that if you don't. Oh no!
Maybe if your house is on fire, it may be something like that. You can find it.
Yeah, our house is on fire. I think these may be two different nationality versions of the same book, but yes, Our House is on Fire, Scenes of a Family and a Planet in Crisis. Let's get one more in here, and it's going to come from kind of an opposite perspective, I think. Theo in Prospect Heights, and Alice, by the way, I hope that was helpful, what Mary was able to give you on that for your 18-year-old. But Theo in Prospect Heights are on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Mary. I wanted to give a little bit of a different perspective. And I think a lot of the problem with children and anxiety is that we're teaching them this stuff at way too young an age. You know, I feel like a lot of kids, you know, when they grow up may suffer like heart disease or cancer, and we don't start putting that on them at like 3 or 4, you know?
That's interesting. And Mary, I will point out to our listeners that you write in your book, half of U.S. kids absorb climate science that's hit or miss at best and often wildly inaccurate. So Theo told our screener he's got a 2-year-old who he took out of daycare, if they got that right, because it was too intense on some of these points, even at that age. Theo, did I get that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's no longer two, but we took him out of preschool because they were just very heavy-handed with a lot of, like, the climate stuff and other. It was, like, right after Trump was elected, and I'm all for climate justice and social justice and all that stuff, but I think to lay that on the shoulders of such young children is irresponsible.
And so maybe you're going to say it depends how it's done, but Mary DeMarco, what about that?
Well, I would agree with you, Theo. I think it sounds like a good decision for your family. I didn't use the words climate change when my kids were little. I definitely sheltered them from all kinds of bad news, whether it was, you know, someone getting stabbed on our street when they were little. I didn't tell them about that until about 10 years ago. They don't need to know. We don't need to burden, we shouldn't burden children with these huge, overwhelming concepts and with problems that adults need to solve and protect them from. So in terms of introducing the climate to young kids, I basically don't. I introduce concepts about cultivating love in them, concepts of protecting our earth, protecting our water, caring for the health of our own bodies, and caring for our communities. So we talk about bringing soup to the neighbors when they're sick. We talk about making sure grandma is comfortable when she comes to visit. We talk about we rescued worms from puddles. Hmm. We spent a lot of time outdoors connecting with the earth. So that's how I talked about climate when they were little. And then we showed them what love and care looks like. For us, that meant we composted food waste. We did a lot of the at-home things that you can do. And we left campsites cleaner than we found them. But more importantly, I think, was that they saw me in particular, both my husband and I, they saw us going to climate marches. I was actually leading them when they were little. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't asking them to learn the climate science or even to necessarily come to these if they didn't want to when they were old enough not to. But I modeled what it looks like to be good steward of the planet, of the community, and of our family. And that really means demanding that representatives make laws that protect people and the planet. We just made civics a natural part of the stewardship of our community. So my kids, when they were little, saw us voting, we would get together with our neighbors. We made it fun. We would have a beer and talk about, you know, which city council person we wanted to vote for.
And we have to leave it there because we are out of time.
Okay.
Great role modeling to end with from Mary DeMocker, author of The Parents' Guide to Climate Revolution, 100 Ways to Build a Fossil-Free Future, Raise Empowered Kids, and Still Get a Good Night's Sleep. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.